there's something undefinable that beckons travelers back to the greater Fort Myers area in southwest Florida year after year. It feels like bare feet on soft white sand beaches that give way to gently lapping waves. It looks like the breathtaking abundance of wildlife, colorful birds, dolphins, manatees, and more, dwelling in lush mangrove ecosystems and translucent Gulf waters. It tastes like fresh coastal cuisine served at sunset at a waterfront restaurant. What will draw you back to Fort Myers? Go to visitfortmyers.com for more inspiration.
Hey, everyone. It's Estelle Herndon, political reporter for The New York Times. When I became a journalist, I made a promise to my readers, like the way the doctors take an oath to their patients. I committed to bringing the truth to light, no matter which party, business, organization, or person I'm reporting on. I have to be persistent. I have to do research, and I have to push back when someone tries to hide or spin the facts. And I know I'm going to write stories that both Democrats and Republicans don't like. But that's what The New York Times has been doing for more than a century, and that's what we're going to keep doing. We believe the public deserves the right to make up their mind based on the facts. So if you want to support this kind of work, you can subscribe to The New York Times at nytimes.com/subscribe.
Keep it 100, I be feeling like who, nobody. These finally understand when I land, I'm the man. Fuck you thought this was, from Japan to the land. Suckers know what's up, praying they overstay.
Welcome to the New York Times podcast, your hallelujah, holla back of music, news, and criticism. I'm your host, John Caramonica.
R.I.P., all I see is concrete. Burn rubber glass, splattered on the concrete. I heard love of lives matter, so when hearts leak. Blood dripping live patterns, so my ink writing red. When it's splatter, don't flatter me, nigga. Save your compliments. Already know that my flow is promise you. We could toast to our old accomplishments, but I'd rather coast, move forward, and talk my shoe. They told me, eat smoke, take your time, it's a long dinner. Eat smoke, take your time, it's a long dinner. Eat smoke, take your time, it's a long dinner. It's one queen and a few brothers, the last supper.
You're listening to Last Supper. That is D-Smoke. D-Smoke was the winner of Rhythm and Flow, which is the rap reality competition show on Netflix that has recently concluded. I feel like this show got some attention, but kind of came and went a little bit quickly. But I wanted to talk this week about some things that made the show really compelling and also some things that I think were challenges in the current hip hop environment and why it's hard to make a competition show in a genre that has changed so radically in the last 5 years. So we're going to be in two parts this week. First, Fraser Tharpe is going to be here. Fraser is from Complex, and we're going to talk about the kind of mechanics of Rhythm and Flow. We're going to talk about things that were good on it. We're going to talk about some people who should have gone further in the competition, but for whatever reason, were not permitted to. And then Tom Bryan is going to call in. Tom wrote a thing about the history of rap reality television competitions. So we're going to talk about the seeds from which Rhythm and Flow was born. But first, Fraser Tharpe is here. Fraser.
Here.
Fraser is a senior editor at Complex. Fraser is an astute observer of both music and television. So why wouldn't I have you here to talk about Rhythm and Flow?
What a show.
Okay. So Rhythm and Flow concluded, but we can now speak about it in full. Let's start with a basic question. Do you feel that the right person won Rhythm and Flow? And you can interpret right person really any way, because there's like five different ways to interpret that. But do you feel that the outcome was the correct outcome?
Yeah. Yeah.
And do you mean that because of the people who remained in the last episode, D-Smoke was in fact like the most talented, most prepared, yada, yada, yada?
The competition wasn't that stiff.
Facts?
But
wait, speaking ill, Flawless Real Talk is going to put a diss song out about you.
Dude, that dude.
Yo, that's, first of all, Flawless Real Talk, I do want to say, and we'll get back to D-Smoke real fast, but Flawless Real Talk is like a rapper I would have loved in like 1998.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, like, dude, he's a really nice guy. His story's great, whatever, but there is nothing 2020 about that guy at all.
No, he's not too future for
like,
you.
Down to like the Fabulous fits. You know?
First of all, I own a pair. I own a t-shirt from Rich Young, the fabulous clothing line, I want
to
say.
Had to have one.
I might wear that tomorrow.
You had to have one at a certain
point.
I
might dig that out.
My mom made it. Look at your boy. I hope you're proud looking at me with joy. I survived through all the pain when you showed me that I didn't have a choice. Don't ever let them try to silence your voice. Now we lit, mama. Don't need a trip, mama. I know you sick, mama. That smile show me you ain't never gonna quit, mama. Want you to see me get my Grammy in that fit, mama. Front row full of the families where you'll sit, mama. You're so quick to smile right through the pain. Laugh right through the cries just to show us your strength. I'm so grateful for your love and every lesson you gave. You made me and taught me to be brave. That's why I'm on my way. I said I'm on my way. Tell every dream that I'm chasing that I'm on my way. Tell the city that we made it and I'm on my way. Doing 100 while I'm on my way. I'm on my way. I'm on my way. I said I'm on my way. I'm on my way.
But yes, the competition of those four, D-Smoke, Flawless Real Talk, Let It Be, and Troy Man.
Even if you go back, because I did watch every episode, D-Smoke was always a standout. He was always doing that like bilingual shit or, you know, I think I really started warming to the show and the music video challenge.
Right. So the way it was structured, obviously, is the first batch of episodes are audition, quote unquote.
And
although
those episodes are horrible.
Yeah, and also they felt like fait accomplis. Like, they did not really feel like true. Like, I'm someone who watched every audition episode of every season of American Idol for like the first 15 seasons. I know what an audition looks like. For a reality competition, this did not feel like an audition for a reality competition.
Like they had their picks and then they just went back and like
basically. Yeah.
They also didn't need to be an hour long.
Yeah, I agree.
I almost never watch reality TV.
Okay.
I probably wouldn't have watched this unless it was something that I was like had to pay attention to. But it's like I find myself in an odd space as I'm telling people, yo, once you get past that, it's a show worth watching.
Yes.
Like when you think Netflix doing a rap reality show. All the alarm bells go off. You think it's going to be corny, and they're going to get washed. People as the host. And, you know, I think weirdly the show just got the right people.
Yeah, well, it got the right people, certainly from a coaching perspective, I mean, a judging perspective. And also, the thing that I was probably most struck by, so I found out after the fact that D-Smoke's brother is signed to TDE.
Okay, I did hear that. Sir.
Sir.
That's crazy.
Right, but it just...
And it's eerie.
It's eerie, but also I wonder if they knew, number one.
Yeah.
There was always a thing on American Idol, less so on The Voice, because The Voice was a little bit more like anybody can show up, like even washed people who used to be in the music business can audition. But with American Idol, there was always these micro-controversies, especially in the early seasons, where it'd be like, oh, the person who had the best audition in week three actually was signed to Interscope for like 6 weeks 5 years ago, which like seems silly now.
Yeah,
but at the time, when you're like, this has so much integrity as a show, you're like, oh, no, heaven forbid that a person who was once signed to Interscope and got dropped could possibly be in the show. But that's what this reminded me of. Like, has D-Smoke... Did he have a development deal with Empire?
Was this whole thing just like a TDE device to... But they also... I was thinking about that, but then they also don't need that, right? They're TDE.
Yeah, I don't know if it's a TDE device or like a major label device, but then the winner of the show, we haven't said, but the winner of the show doesn't get a record deal.
Yeah.
Which is like, lol. Like, it's like, we'll give you money, but we don't give you a record deal. The thing with reality music competitions is always like, are we going to make a star?
Yeah.
Like, we're going to like find a Kelly Clarkson, we're going to sign her to a label, she's going to become a big pop star. With this, there's like, no, we're good. Like, we're just going to give you a check and like, you're going to have to be Chance the Rapper. Like, you're going to.
Which is not even like a lot of money to start a career.
No, it's not. It's really not. It's $250,000. I mean, I'd be happy to have it, but it's not really. It's basically. The fact that the prize was just that, I think, actually ends up reinforcing what is true of most reality competitions, whether it's music or Top Chef or Project Runway or whatever, which is that the search is not for the best chef, rapper, fashion designer, interior designer. The search is for the best narrative television show.
Yeah.
So the fact that at the end, it's kind of like, cool. Like, nobody has any obligations to you anymore. Like, that's it. You served your purpose. That's ultimately what that the lack of
you
record
we're not
going
to see a Cardi featuring D-Smoke as their next single?
The real question is, are you going to see Troy Man and Cardi? That's the real question. The other thing about D-Smoke that is also true, like, of a lot of reality TV competitions is oftentimes the most earnest person wins.
Right.
Because it's very easy to narrativize earnestness.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, can you imagine if, like, basically like a party rapper had won the show? It would have felt weird.
Yeah, like a person is just like, you know, like a little
Yeah.
You know, like, to that end, though, for most of the show, I'd pegged London B.
Her personality and her image was already set before she walked
in the
door.
And when you just talk narrative, she just kind of, you know, checks all the boxes.
But here's the thing with London B. She didn't enunciate her bars particularly well.
She did not.
Not to be all technical about it, but she like, I do feel like Chance the Rapper here sitting there talking about, first of all, don't invert the crosses because that's anti-godly. But there was something where she would kind of like almost like melt into the beat.
Yeah.
Like she would rap so in sync with the beat that she didn't feel like she was apart from the beat. So I would hope that she is working on her crispness.
I can only say.
Sleeping in my aunt's house, I was down like a knockout. No money, four bills, two broke, for real. No job, no meal, work hard, make tips, minimum wage. Daddy locked up in the cage, mama can't buy me no clothes. I had to get what I said, yeah. On flow, two pole, no cold, too cold. No door, Prudo, on one, uno.
What I really wanted to talk about the show, because of who won, but also who got eliminated along the way, is to what degree this sort of path, which is to say an audition, quote unquote, a cipher, a battle, a video, a sample, a collaboration, like to what degree is that a relevant pathway for an actual rapper in 2019? To me, it doesn't feel that relevant.
No, I mean, and that's the glaring thing throughout the entire show is that the whole thing is still a little dated. Everything the show's built around is a little anachronistic.
Yeah.
And even the hosts or the judges, whatever you want to call them, like, they all, except for maybe T.I., had unconventional paths to stardom, too, that
you
couldn't box into some challenges
Could
that they're now putting people through.
Like, yeah, so we should say, we didn't say, you know, T.I., Cardi, and Chance.
Right.
Cardi is like a one of one. Like, there's not, you can't.
Legit.
You literally can't remake, reinvent, reverse engineer. I mean, no. If you're going to reverse engineer Cardi, the first challenge on this show would have been, like, make Instagram clips. They have nothing to do with music.
Like, that should have been a challenge when you think about it.
Actually, it's totally true.
Like, there should have been TikToks. There should have been IG stories.
This
Trillers.
Season two. Trillers, that's true.
Netflix, I wanna, call us.
Honestly, more money than podcasting. But yeah, like, I was looking at these things, and there were a few, like, hip-hop competition shows, like, in early 2000s and whatnot, and these felt not that different from,
right.
from those. It was, like, higher production value and fancier, but, like, in essence, it said if you want to be a rapper, you have to battle your way there. You have to, like, make songs interacting with familiar music.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Or, like, duetting with R&B singers, and in an era where, like, every rapper is an R&B singer already,
right.
like, it just seemed odd.
Yeah, and I think the production value thing is really what puts it over the top. And as I was saying earlier, it's really just a case, which is with all things Netflix, they're just not afraid to spend the money.
Exactly.
They spent the money and they got the right people. Like when you see Mike Carson help with the stage design, it's like,
yeah.
When we see that, it feels like we are watching the VMAs or, you know, like D-Smoke's last set kind of felt like a Grammy performance.
Absolutely.
A little bit, you know, like it was tight.
Okay, so let's talk about the judges. What did you most enjoy and least enjoy out of the three?
I think T.I. and Cardi at times, I appreciated their candor, but at times they made it too business and cutthroaty.
Yes.
You know?
Right.
They were already thinking about which markets I can sell you in, and Cardi was very early on kind of boxing people like, well, I don't see that being a hit.
Right. And also,
and not like, good, just a hit.
Right. And also, she would be like, white people aren't going to like that, like, which is like.
Or I don't like that.
Yeah. And like, those are things that. I'm sure it gets said in boardrooms all the time.
Yeah.
But I think it's strange.
To come from the artist.
It's so strange to basically say that to a person who, like, basically has only ever rapped in their bedroom.
Exactly.
You know, like, it's like, well, they don't know. Like, they just, they haven't figured that out yet.
I did enjoy Chance being mean, though.
Did you think he had it in him?
So
I wasn't sure.
Early on, you can see him kind of, like, sticking to his nice guy role a little bit and feeling awkward about it. And then I think that part, at least, of the audition process was real, where he's just like, all right, you know what?
It's trash.
We're cutting loose. Mm-hmm. And he just, like, leans into this, like, mean streak that was, like, really hilarious to watch.
The two best threads of Chance during the show are Chance is mean, which I completely agree with you and completely bang with. And number two, Chance trying to identify gospel and godly streaks in people. And there was a one kid, and I can't remember his name, but it was someone who got eliminated in an audition round, who literally was like, I understand why Chance didn't like me. He's a gospel yeah. rapper, which is maybe the funniest line on television this year. Because I was completely alone in my house, dying at this kid, just dragging Chance.
He made
for loving the Lord.
He made no attempts to even hide his bias anytime someone put church shit in there, which was just like hilarious to me. Like, it was like rigged. You know, it's like just trying. It's like knowing what's going to gas your professor.
Absolutely.
To get that higher
it's teacher's
grade.
It's teacher's pet stuff. No, and so like even when someone like Caleb Colossus gets deep in the competition with quasi-Christian iconography or whatever, it's like playing to the
awkward-ass video where he's just like, man.
Loosen your shoulders, dog. Loosen your shoulders.
Remember back in 2010, I ain't know who I was. Spitting raps on the bus because we ain't have shit to discuss. I used to talk about the league and how making it tough. Now I'm in a league of my own with this rapping and stuff. Was out of college, it was rough, real rough. But I elevated to a full-time rapper when I graduated. That's backwards, ain't it? Just look at the portrait I painted. It's like the Sistine Chapel. My ceiling's amazing. Don't even trip because I was just like you. With no direction and rejection till my God came through. I'm from the Peach State, so it must be true when I tell the people I bear fruit. When he gets the brush, hush, watch him paint the flow. A young black Michelangelo. Let me say my piece, sheesh, gotta let him know the shit is coming out of my soul. When he gets the brush, hush, watch him paint the flow. A young black Michelangelo. Let me say my piece, sheesh, gotta let him know the shit is coming out of my soul.
I do want to talk about some of those that we lost along the way.
Oh, man.
So, okay, so there were the auditions, and then that was the first batch of episodes. And then the second batch, you had Cyphers, which is fine, people rapping in a group. That makes no sense. You know, it's fine. BET Awards does it. No big deal. But then the battles. And the number one thing, like, let's talk about people who are currently really famous rappers, like Travis, Uzi, Thug. Do you think...
Literally none of these people.
Do you think any of them would have survived episode six, rap battles? I don't think so.
None of your favorite rappers under 35.
Wow. First of all, shouts to anybody who has a favorite rapper over 35. I mean, know you do.
Pusha T.
I thought Jay.
Jay, obviously number one.
Yes.
Pusha T, as far as like people who are like actively active,
yes,
is the only person I can think of
who would thrive in this context.
Right.
Yes. Can we talk about Jacob Campbell?
R.I.P.
I mean,
I thought he was going places.
White Meek Mill. And I say that as a person who's not like the hugest Meek Mill fan. But what Jacob Campbell had clearly done is absorbed the shout rap thing. And then also the kind of like I'm going to hit like punchlines that actually punch. Like, right. I'm going to, like, drop something on you, like, you know, whatever, the mic, but not Jill Scott. Like, just, and then, like, sort of stand there for a second.
He impressed me.
I thought he was really good. Who did he lose? Did he lose?
Troy Mann, I think.
Fodacris.
Even just in terms of compelling TV and knowing which challenges were up next, it's like, would Jacob have had a dope music video?
Yeah, he would have made a song about, like, his mom, and, like, he would have gone back to, where, he's from Denver? He would have had, like, the saddest video ever recorded in Denver. Are you kidding me? I would love to see
legit
that
legit just walking through his house. Yeah. Like, it would have been the most basic, saddest, like,
I know, it would have been depressing.
It would have been White Boy Rick.
Yes, but, like, I would have liked to have seen it. Jacob, if you're listening, you should make that video.
Yeah, yeah. I messed up last round, I ain't gon' lie. But now you losing to a guy who forgot his lines. I put the city on my shoulder till my back hurt. How you look like Safari, but you rap worse? They said you got Troy, man. You think you bring fear? Think I'm scared of a man who got his eyebrows pierced? Facing me the death sentence. Don't cry right here. You should've known you about to die right here. I ain't go up on your gram and look up in it.
Why unlike some of the other artists who made it to the top eight, Jacob to me was blatantly a commercial proposition.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he was a rapper who had no interest. Like, even if you look at, like, a Flawless Real Talk, who's, like, imbibed 30 years of rap history and, right, like, wants to be in the tradition. But obviously the tradition is, like, herky-jerked away from him in the last 5 years. Jacob is, like, the one quasi-lyrical dude who still wants to turn up.
Yeah, yeah.
And so, and even, I don't see how you don't get that guy further in the competition.
Well, and even if you're trying to limit it to a one Caucasian.
Yes, why thing, him and why not? Why not? The, why not him and why Sam?
Sam I Am, or whatever the hell his name is. Like, that guy was kind of dopey.
So Sam Be Yourself.
Whatever.
Be Yourself or Be Myself?
Sam Be Yourself.
Okay, so now here's the thing. If he had a whole clique and it was like, Frasier Be Yourself, John Be Yourself, Pedro Be Yourself. Like, that might be lit. Like maybe in the D. Maybe
Sam he has BYS? Whole,
yeah, exactly.
BYS click?
Yeah, maybe he has a whole squad. Then that name is fire. It's also potentially a good name if your entire thing is, like, basically, like, optimistic, kid-friendly rap. Like, I'm Sam Be Yourself. You know, like, if you're
which also could have been a Chance. You know,
yeah, that would have been, like, super pandering to Chance. Chance would have loved
PBS
it.
PBS raps.
Oh.
You know?
Ooh. After school special raps. But, like, the thing with Sam Be Yourself is I'd never felt like he had an identity beyond, like,
no,
like white guy with, like, half a bar.
They cannot manage me, no. Younger name Sammy, I'm back in my zone. They cannot stand to see, bro. Now that I'm living my fantasy, yo. They cannot manage me, no. The younger name Sammy, I'm back in my zone. They cannot stand to see, bro. Now that I'm living my fantasy, yo.
My whole life, yeah. Be a fool. I've been working every single night, yeah. I was chosen, now they putting me. Yeah. I was destined for the glory and the hype, yeah. They just wanna catch me slipping, and they hate the fact I'm winning. I just love the fact I'm different, it's alright. And I know that they gon' listen when I'm playing through the system. I'm just sticking to the mission till I die. Till I die, yeah.
The funny thing was, he was the most salty when he got kicked off. Like, everybody else who got kicked off was either, like, it's alright, or sad. He was like, nah. Like, you know, like, I felt like maybe
he really thought he had it.
He really did. He really did. And it was not, that was, it was not factual.
No,
that was,
man. That was not factual. There's no way.
Other people who didn't make it through.
Beans.
Woo, Beans.
Tragic.
So my favorite part of the narrative about Beans, like, when they went to her family and she, or like when they went to behind the scenes videos.
Yeah, yeah.
And she was basically like, in my normal life, I'm just Sarah or whatever. Like, I'm super nice and da da da. And then, like, she is,
then I become Beans.
Yeah, like the she was, I thought she was excellent, and I was upset to see her go.
Like, is that normal reality TV practice where it's like they purposely pit her against Flawless, and it's at that point you're already kind of rooting for Flawless because at least he's entertaining.
Yes.
So, but at that point it kind of felt like that season of The Wire where they had, like, Omar versus Michael.
Right.
It's like, who do I even pick here?
Yeah.
You know?
No, I do think that that's, it was a setup in that way. And I do think that one or two of the other battles also felt like that. Also, wait, what was your vibe on Old Man Saxon?
I liked him.
I liked him too.
I liked him.
I liked him too.
He was different.
Obviously, like, his rapping was obscured by the shtick.
Yeah.
Like, I get that. But I also thought the shtick was, like, low-key not a bad shtick.
The shtick was fun.
Yeah.
And it could have, I think it could have carried him places.
You look like Africa Bambaataa's granddaughter. Look at, yeah. Slick how I put my Mac on. I sip Grey Goose, then watch Black Swan. Stop trying to blast me, mister. Course I grabbed these blisters confirming you had a nasty sister. Ain't that about a shit? Oh, I read your biography. Ain't that about a shit? I really think it is, so I'ma crack it out and pass the G, and I got a place to house it in, like, oh.
Do you think he could, like, be popping on YouTube?
Well, that's a great question to all of these dudes.
Mm-hmm.
Like, when we whittle it down to, I guess, maybe the 8 or 16, like, does anyone beyond D-Smoke or at least the final four have any kind of relevance they can grasp to?
Okay, so let's, here, I have the top 8 here. So D Smoke, yes, although it's really just Kendrick Monkey. You know, it's really just
It is, and it was so weird when they paired him with Soundwave to me. It was like eerie.
But that's why I'm saying I feel like they knew. That's why I feel like the fix is maybe low key in. Like it didn't feel right to me
it
once I knew
fixy,
that.
It felt fixy, but also I'm still okay with it cuz he still had the best performance.
No, I agree. And he, in the second half of the show's episodes, he is clearly the best and most prepared person. He's also the oldest.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, dad's here. There goes dad rapping in Spanish again. Like,
I also gave that song the card test and it kind of hits.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, good.
I guess they release soundtracks with each episode drop with the songs from those episodes.
I see. So...
So I was like, right, let me see if this D-Smoke hits.
Light slap.
A little bit.
Flawless Real Talk. Maybe he'll sign to Duck Down. Like, you know.
Yo, you know, I'll tell you who Flawless gave me vibes for. He could get an Eminem audience.
You think so?
He had very imminent, like, current, like, not afraid recovery Eminem-ish vibes.
Wow. Okay. Flawless, if you're listening, there's a lean for you.
Listen, free of charge.
First of all, podcast, free of charge. all the gems, free of charge. And to everybody who's listening, you're welcome. London B., could do something.
Could. I think, again, she showed out so crazy in the music videos.
Yes.
And then everything after that just did not live up. And like you said, like, her flow was awkward.
Mm-hmm.
And you could almost see, like, even if the fix was in for D-Smoke, some of the most genuine reactions were the three of them just kind of wincing at her and not delivering what they thought she would.
Right. And this is again, we can talk about how realistic these challenges are, but obviously one of the real struggles in this kind of setting, and this has always been a case on singing competitions, but in this case for rapping, is you write a song, memorize it, perform it, choreograph it in 24 or 48 hours. Like, that's not something that, if you're just rapping in your house, that you ever have to think about.
Yeah.
So that's why she sort of fell apart, is I don't think the reality of being a rap performer is the same as being someone who's good at rapping.
Right.
It's just not the same. Troy Mann, I gotta be honest, I really struggled with Troy Mann throughout the entire...
I couldn't get into him.
So I thought, like, a little fake Ludacris vibes.
That's interesting.
Like, you know, like, when I was listening to his finale song...
I don't like his delivery.
No, I don't like his delivery either. And also, like, his puns are, like, not great.
No, very obvious.
Yeah.
But it's also, he might deserve a car test. Because I did watch some of his last two performances or whatever and wonder if that was just his live delivery.
So you think on record...
Might be different, because I wasn't mad at his music video.
Yeah, pulling caps way back. At your noggin, choose another option. Take up swimming, bring the waves back. Giant tsunami, you don't want pastrami. Keep the beef like a butcher. Watch him cook up, park your son, got him shook up. I got the hook up, know what you need.
Hey bro, what you need, man? You know we out here all day and night.
Tell them niggas we don't know what sleep is. What's a weekend? Going mental with credentials, pockets on the deep end. Little shawty, I be freaking, we ain't speaking. I be out here trying to eat, but she just think I'm creeping. Fuck it though, we on the lolo. Watch your popo. Even if I'm mobbing solo, never moving slow. Take a L, that's a no-no. You should know, bro. Daddy blackout, shot the Kodak, you should take a photo. What a change! Getting paid is all on my agenda. Throw these kids in the trash, shout out to Brenda. Lying ass, they not what they seem like. We be buzzing, posting like a street light. Motherfucker shot it. Yeah.
I mean, he got a decent Tay Keith beat.
Right.
Although, and Tay Keith was like, hey, man, I don't care what happens in this show. Like, I'm going to make a tape with you. And I was like, really, Tay Keith?
Not,
like,
not the that's the best use of your time.
No, that's what I'm saying. Like, your Tay Keith music is like a limited commodity.
I'll tell you who shined in the producer pair was London on the track.
Amazing.
He snapped.
First of all, he snapped musically. He also snapped with the fit.
He did.
He snapped with the fit.
Hit-Boy did not snap with the fit.
No, Hit-Boy was resentful. Hit-Boy was basically like, I'm too famous to be here. Which is like not true, but I do think.
I mean, I feel him, but it's just like you don't need to wear a winter coat inside, bro.
I do agree. But London came through. I think that might have been Raf Simmons with the bib action. Anyway, he looked amazing.
We need more London on A-list.
But also, he was the most of all the producers. He was the most realistic in the sense of, we're not going to record a song. Like, we're just going to go in and we're going to play a bunch of stuff, and you're going to write a bunch of stuff, and then we're going to piece it together. That is how songs get made.
Yeah, it was kind of like her quasi-grade school sicko mode.
Yes.
That she made.
Yeah. You know? Which, and I didn't really love it that much, but it was the truest representation of what it means to work in the studio with a producer like that.
And in this year.
Yes,
like,
specifically
of course we would see songs following that mold now.
Again, it's weird that this entire competition is oriented away from an artist who works in that fashion.
Right.
And towards an artist who works like a D-Smoke, who's basically like, I wrote a chapbook.
I also
and
think,
I'm going to rap it now.
Now that we're talking about this, I also think the show, one of like the finalists definitely should have been more of like a Cardi, Playboy Cardi.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like loose.
But there was no, how would a Playboy Cardi get through this competition?
Exactly.
Like the one kid in the audition round who was like a quasi SoundCloud rapper, that kid Young Water, who had like the baby's head hanging from his belt, and like Royce the 5'9" like whispers to, who was it? Was it Chance?
Maybe a Twista, yeah.
Yeah, or just like, this is a niche underground thing. Like, thank you for reading my SoundCloud rap coverage. I appreciate that. But how would that kid get through this? And every time I've ever been in the studio with anyone of either that generation or the Thug generation, no one has ever written a song.
Yeah.
Like, no one's written a song. So how, if you don't write songs, how do you get in a cypher?
There's no
if
one
you don't write
kinda,
songs, how do you get in one of these battles?
There's no one who represented like that Thug or Playboy just kind of
no
new agey wave.
Which is why ultimately the show ends up with a winner that looks a lot like Kendrick or a Cole or someone who's
like a conservative pick who you know still sells, is still genuinely entertaining, but is more of like a throwback.
And also because it's television, has like a emotional narrative component.
Right.
Where you're like, I'm rooting for this person.
Yeah,
this person is someone I want to get behind. And now there are other people in the competition. Like, I think you could have said that about London B. I think you could have said that about Flawless to a certain degree. I think if they had presented Big Mouth Bo a little bit differently, maybe you could have said it about Big Mouth Bo.
She was like the one standout like antagonist.
She was brolic.
The battle episode was interesting because what she did enforce that there are no rules in the battle, but it was still kind of corny.
With Ray Khalil, you mean?
Yeah. And she
was good, actually, low-key.
She was good, but she was like, she just made herself food.
Yeah, and also, she's like, I mean, she's like a spoken like word poet, kind of.
Yeah, like it was a weird setup, but from then on, like, when Big Mouth Bo lost the next challenge, I was like, yeah, that's what you get.
Karma.
Got in her face.
What you get is the bad
what
director.
You get, bully.
Also the bad director for
Dude,
the video
can we
challenge.
Just talk about that whole challenge. I'm going to be honest. I made this joke before we started recording.
Sorry,
it did give me Tish.
It's written
PTSD.
Right. Yes.
You know?
Did it feel that way? What did you study at Tish?
Film, yeah.
So were you a director?
Director, writer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So when you watch these videos, when you saw Caleb Colossus like trying to move his shoulders
legit,
in a church.
Like felt that.
Yeah.
Like real shortwave, go out, make a 5-minute thing around Washington Square Park and come back.
You'll notice that like when they got in with producers, they'd be like, here's a famous producer, you know, who's worked with Drake and Blockboy JB and whatever. But with the directors, it was none of that. It was
that was interesting.
Were those directors popping? Like,
no, I mean, I'm guessing not, but that did stand out to me. Like, why aren't they saying who directed this?
Yeah. Because I think it was just like literally like maybe kids from Tish. No cap, but like maybe kids from Tish.
Shout out to Tish.
Yeah, I mean, shout out to Tish. Like, I'm sure.
Yo, Caleb Floss's video looked good.
Yeah,
he didn't look good.
He didn't look good in it. But like the video, I thought was actually maybe the best of. Was it the best? The London B video.
London
B video was good. So big picture, wrapping it all together, I felt like the show was quietly successful.
Mm-hmm.
I felt like if they had rolled it out slightly differently, because the thing is, when you're rolling it out in three batches, by the time people are caught on to it, it's over.
Right.
So you don't actually have that run of like, hey, maybe by week three, it's growing. And then like, oh, by week five and week six, everybody's really talking
that
about
and
it.
Like these things, reality specifically depends on, I think, a week to week interest.
Absolutely.
Like you stretch out the narrative and the investments.
Yes.
Because again, like I probably wouldn't have watched the show if I didn't have obligations to watch the show. Mm-hmm. But I think it did benefit from being on the journey with them. Right? Like when you get to the final four, it's like, all right, you have some investment in all of them or whoever.
And again, that's why these shows have to function as much as narrative tension as music making.
And like you said, you know, you can't really build that up in batch drops.
So I was a little surprised because I do think maybe if you backdropped all the auditions.
Yeah.
And then you started doing one a week.
Yeah.
Or even two a week. But it felt like it was really clustered. And I was like notionally into everybody at the end, but I wasn't like, that's my guy. Because I didn't have enough time to form any attachments.
Exactly.
In any real sense. So I think if they're going to do this again, to draw it out a little bit.
Definitely.
Would be better.
I mean, not to stray too far from music, but that's my whole sticking point right now with Netflix anyway. Like,
yeah.
I wrote a thing for the site for Complex.
Mm-hmm. Plex Gang.
A couple weeks ago.
Plex Gang.
Shout out Plex.
Shout out Plex Gang.
Basically,
past and present.
I've just...
Did you know I was the music editor for the first two issues of Print Complex?
No way.
I was.
How did I not know that?
Yeah, man. I've been here on.
First two?
You looking?
Who was
check
there?
The mask at? Nobody. I mean, it was like nobody. Was
NCB
currently.
Wasn't there.
No, it was pre-NCB.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
And no Complex existed pre-NCB. Yeah, dude. I think binging sucks.
Yeah.
I think
I feel
it's
that.
Just it dilutes a lot of TV in ways that I don't think anyone is really realizing.
Wasn't asking for. Like,
yeah,
it's not,
man.
Like there like, was, like people were like, I wish I could watch 9 episodes. Now, that's not to say that I don't watch 9 episodes of
now that you can.
Then. Yeah, but it's, I don't think people were like, this is a natural thing that I'm hoping to.
Yeah.
And I do think, to that point, like, binging, it diminishes your ability to appreciate micro details of a show.
Exactly.
It does ruin narrative tension.
And it kind of, you know, once you know you're writing something that's probably going to be binged, I think it has that adverse effect too.
Gets baked in.
It just gets baked in. It starts to be less episodic.
Yeah.
Which kind of defeats the whole point of the medium.
Absolutely.
And it's just crazy that that's even affecting something as basic as reality TV now.
Yes. At Netflix.
Listen.
We try to tell you. You think they'll do another one of these?
Yeah. I mean, like you said, the rollout was interesting.
Mm-hmm.
At this point, I feel like I'm still recommending the show to a lot of people.
Yeah, because I feel like, it's funny, I actually, as I was watching it, I would, like, reach out to people who I would have thought, like, obviously would watch it.
Right.
And almost nobody was watching it.
Yeah.
Like, and I'm not saying it's unpopular, maybe it is popular, but it's weird that, like, in the circles that I travel in, nobody was watching it.
I think the only person I've seen tweeting about it is David Drake,
shouts to David Drake.
But that guy, like...
He just,
consumes everything.
Yes.
You know?
Even, like, I would talk to people who, like, worked at record labels, and I'd just be like, oh, like, this seems like a thing you would probably want to watch.
Yeah.
Nothing. Crickets.
Weird.
Yeah. A little strange. I thought it's on a kind of concise level, a great front and center star turn for Cardi.
Mm-hmm.
Chance being mean. Strong look.
Good character turn.
Great heel turn. Yeah. T.I., first of all, some primo T.I. fits.
Yes.
Some, like, literal lunacy T.I., like, A-plus T.I. fits. And also T.I. word mangling, like, at, like...
Amazing.
On 1,000.
A little bit felt scripted.
I do agree. I do agree that they're kind of like, you do this thing. Like,
yeah.
Maybe could you do a little bit more of it? But I was really grateful for that. On the whole, the talent itself was not that great. And I think... a version of this that's a little bit, that breathes a little bit more with a higher baseline of talent.
Right.
Could go somewhere.
Yeah, I think a season two, well, first of all, do you think season two needs the same judges or is it a mix? Like, do we get...
I think maybe you keep one and you rotate.
Yeah.
Like, maybe you keep Tip or you keep,
like,
Chance.
Do they throw a huge bag at Travis Scott? Travis Scott judging a show would be hilarious.
This is the sound of me zipping my mouth closed and throwing away the key. Honestly, that would have to be reclassified as a comedy.
Well, who are some contemporaries?
Who
on
could
their
be?
Level? Yeah,
who could actually do it?
Because you can't get one of T.I.'s peers. Because I only thought of Travis because I think people forget that Travis was technically signed to T.I. Everyone associates Travis with Good Music and Kanye, but he's paperwork. Grand Hustle. So T.I. has kind of like done this as far, and that's what I appreciated from a lot of his insights is that
speaking of T.I., Iggy Azalea.
I mean.
Come on, you tell me you wouldn't watch Iggy Azalea judging? Come on. I mean, we're turning this into a comedy show, but like.
If you were a contestant on that show and Iggy Azalea was telling
like trying
you
to
things,
drag
like,
you.
Yeah, it was like.
Okay, so Nikki could plausibly do it.
Yes, Nikki would be fire.
Nikki could plausibly do it.
Tyga, T-Raw.
Amazing. I would sign up.
Yes.
Just to be critiqued by Tyga.
Chains.
A great choice. Lil Tecca.
That's another one. The kid. There was like that.
Arion.
Yeah.
Arion was good. Yeah. Arion, Gone Too Soon, half drill rapper. And that was a good example of here's someone who's good in a version of hip hop that is not the version of hip hop that this show valorizes.
Yeah.
So he was not long for the world.
Yeah.
Okay. So maybe for season two, bring back Jacob, bring back Arion, bring back Beans. And give them the tools they need to succeed on
the hallmark own terms. Of reality is the return.
Absolutely.
Right? Let's do it.
Yes. And whoever the kid was who called Chance a gospel rapper, I want him. He just has to get a guaranteed like fast pass into round of 16 or something. Frazier Tharpe, what a pleasure. Thank you for being here.
Thanks for having me.
Coming up in a sec, Tom Bryan's calling in to talk rap reality history.
Craft matters in small ways, like how coffee is made. Or how a wooden table is built, piece by piece. And in not-so-small ways, like how your money is cared for. At UBS, we elevate investing to a craft. We deliver our services with passion, expertise, and meticulous attention to detail. This is what investing means to UBS. Not just work, but a craft. Discover more at ubs.com/craft. The value of investments may fall as well as rise, and you may not get back the amount originally invested.
This is A.O. Scott. I'm a critic at the New York Times. What I do and what the other critics here do is part of the same project that all of the journalists at the New York Times work on every day to give you clarity and perspective and, above all, a deeper understanding of the world. When you subscribe to the New York Times, it's not just here are the headlines, but here's the way everything fits together. If you'd like to subscribe, please go to nytimes.com/subscribe.
Bad boy, baby, we the last standing. Check the record, check the score. The band, the next generation of bad motherfuckers.
I'm back and I'm hitting them hard. This don't sag, I don't need no push abroad.
We're back for part two of the Rhythm and Flow episode. Tom Bryan's on the phone. Tom, what's good, man?
Everything is good.
Everything is beautiful. It is. Tom is a senior editor at Stereo Gum. Although you may just know Tom from writing every piece that appears on Stereo Gum. No cap.
We have many talented writers.
Yes, no cap to Chris and everybody else. But, you know, Tom is a beast. Tom, in your sort of daily beasting on Stereo Gum, you wrote a piece a couple weeks ago about essentially the history of rap reality competition shows. And you had a lot of OG gems in there, some that I had forgotten about. We transitioned into this segment with the legendary bop Bad Boy This, Bad Boy That.
Great song.
By The Band, which we will talk about. But and also there was at least one show that you left out that we will also get to. But let's start with the first clip in your piece, which is of the One Night Only extravaganza a Blaze Battle. Blaze was a magazine, for those who didn't know. Blaze was a Vibe offshoot that was a hip-hop focused offshoot of Vibe.
Did you ever work for Blaze?
I wrote for Blaze, for sure. I wasn't on staff, but I did a Souls of Mischief / Hieroglyphics profile for Blaze. I traveled to Oakland for that. I think it might have been the first time I ever traveled for a story. I reviewed a lot of records. Man, was there a rapper named Spontaneous?
Probably.
Yeah, I just reviewed a gang of records for Blaze. Shout out Jesse Washington. Shout out Todd Barbie, a.k.a. Mahmood. Blaze, in its time, you know, they had the great Lil Wayne cover where he's holding his daughter. Like, there was some really interesting stuff happening at Blaze. And here was a brand extension, which is the Blaze Battle. And I remember at the time, the kind of conversation about the Blaze Battle was like, that's not a real battle. You know, it was when people cared about battling. But you ended up with a one-episode TV show on HBO, and you posted the finale clip. Do you want to talk about Idea and RK? Idea first. Rest in peace, Idea.
Yes.
A great rapper. Idea was a genuinely great rapper, for the record.
Yeah, and like a quietly important figure for a little while.
Yes. Shout out to everybody in Minneapolis.
Knowing that he jocks me, you couldn't kick dope lyrics with karate. Come on, bring up the microphone and try to rock me. Yo, I grab the mic and straight be a rap enhancer. This cat wants to be my fucking backup dancer. Why's he doing that? This man ain't rapping. You should go sign up to deal with little Janet Jackson.
The Blaze Battle, I remember it being discussed more than I remember it being any sort of like thing. Like, I was in college when it happened, so I was not in the conversation as much. But people were just kind of like, "Oh yeah, that was pretty bad." And if you watch the clip that I posted in the thing, it was pretty bad.
And this is the finale. This is the finale. Yes,
the championship match, and there's technical difficulties all over the place. There's sort of like confusion about when people are supposed to rap. It's very messy.
And also, like, Idea is like a legit excellent battle rapper, but this is not a great Idea battle rap. Although he does have one bar in here where like the other guy is trying to distract attention by like doing some kind of weird footwork dance. And Idea is like, this guy's trying to be my backup dancer. And I think that's when he wins. That's ultimately when he wins, because I think the guy's like, damn, he got me. But Idea is like a legit good battler. I think he was a Scribble Jam champion. I know we were texting the other day and you were like, did you go to Scribble Jam? And indeed, I did go to Scribble Jam more than one time. And I saw Mac Lethal win. Hello, Mac Lethal. And I saw Slug and Sage Francis battling in a park. I have some like terrible disposable camera photos of the Slug Sage Francis battle. If Getty Images would like to license those from me, let me know.
that historic occasion.
Absolutely. I want to make sure that those are not lost to time.
I never went to a Scribble Jam, but I did see, I don't know if it was their first show in New York, but Atmosphere played at the Knitting Factory and Idea was their hype man.
Was, I guess, of course.
Slug's hype man. And there was a moment in the set where Slug and Idea pretty much battled each other, and it was extremely entertaining.
I bet.
Like, it was like, that could have been a TV show.
That makes total sense. I maybe I was even there. I probably was there.
I worked there that summer. I worked the door. Oh. I got to get into the shows for free.
Wow. Secret histories. This TV show is represented. First of all, I think the Blaze Battle can be purchased on DVD, probably on eBay or something, if anybody is so inclined. But this is representative of like an era in which hip hop as a subject matter for television is not quite congealed, right? It's like, what's a thing that we can broadcast? And like, well, battling is kind of like a sport. So like we can broadcast this thing. It doesn't necessarily take hip hop seriously, like as narrative or as emotional content or anything. It's just like bars, more bars.
Did any television take rap seriously?
No. I think this was across the, you know, whether it's scripted or unscripted. I think this is just reflective of a moment where hip hop. I mean, look, this is what, 2000? You know, we're only 2 or 3 years after the deaths of Pac and Biggie. We're only just at, like, Puff really being at peak power. You know, it hadn't really zipped into television yet, right?
Yeah. There'd been Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. There'd been In the House with LL Cool J.
But generally speaking, it's not there yet. But then what happens, and you talk about what comes next, is Puff takes over Making the Band on MTV. And that's really the first time that, like, you see what the making of a rap group might be like. Of course, it's completely amplified for reality television. He makes them walk from Manhattan to Junior's in Brooklyn to get cheesecake and then bring it back. And then he's not there when they bring it back, which is just amazing.
It's really probably a pretty accurate reflection of what it's like to try to break into the music industry. That more than any of the like actual rapping.
Wait, did you not like any of the rappers on the band? You don't like?
I kind of liked them all.
Yeah, Chopper. Chopper was really good.
Yeah, Chopper was extremely charismatic and like young and fresh faced.
Yep.
There was a guy named Freddie who kind of sounded a little bit like Mystical. There was a girl named Babs who was tough.
Babs.
There was Ness, who was like a good, like hard nosed, like Philly
yeah.
Rapper.
I mean, he's basically like a Beanie Siegel type.
Yeah. There was a scene on the show where he battles Jay Mills.
Yes.
Like Puff brings Jay Mills into the studio and they battle. And apparently, like, I think I remember reading some interview where they said that battle was actually like 4 hours long or some ridiculous thing.
Wow.
We only got to see a tiny bit of it. But what we got to see on the show, like, really impressed me, I remember. Like, it was compelling watching Puff try to, like, put these kids through the ringer and be like, are they good rappers? Like, are they built for this?
So the first album, the group was called Da Band,
which is a bad name. Yeah, like that kneecapped them right there.
Yeah. But that album, to my memory, was, like, decent. I might have reviewed that record for Rolling Stone. Someone has to dig that out of the internet.
Yeah, I was still buying records when that came out, so I didn't.
You didn't purchase? You didn't drop $14.99 on that?
I did not, but I did heartily enjoy the Bad Boy This, Bad Boy That video every time it came on, which was pretty often.
Yeah, and the thing that I most appreciated about that show, besides the quality of the performances on the show, was it really understood that these are young kids thrown in absurd situations. And obviously it's like max geared towards maximal drama, but there was a human scale interaction that was happening on this show. And it was not inconsequential. It was maybe like a nice cherry on top that they had a record and they had a hit and they had maybe even two hits and a little bit of like, you know, pre-social media fame. But I was like invested in the narratives. It worked as television. And this is something we were talking about in the first part of the episode as far as rhythm and flow, which is that it has to work as narrative television. It's nice if the person who wins happens to become a famous rapper, but it has to work as reality television in order for the show to have any meaning. And so the thing that I remember about the Making the Band, and they spread out that, you know, it was Making the Band season one, Making the Band season two, Making the Band season three. Like, they really stretched it out.
I just remember it got so much more boring once they were not kind of competing with each other to get into the group.
Yes.
Like, when they were in the group, it was just kind of irritating. They were fighting each other all the time. It really kind of belied how inorganic the whole process was. But when it was just a bunch of like hungry young rappers who like wanted to be part of something and who thought that this was their ticket, like that's when it was good. Like that's when it was really like exciting.
So during roughly the same period as Puff's MTV reign, there was one show that actually you did not mention, and I was sad to see you did not mention.
What was that?
Next.
It was called
Interscope presents the next episode coming in November, only on Showtime.
Welcome to Interscope presents the next on Showtime. My name's Marshall.
It appeared on Showtime. I believe Eminem was an executive producer. And it was basically also quasi battle rap focused. I kind of remember the rappers on that show. The name that sticks in my head after all these years is Quest Makoti, who I think was from maybe Detroit. I'm not 100% sure.
I have no memory of this existing. I didn't have Showtime at the time.
You know, it was big ballin' in the early 2000s with my premium cable.
You think that's still on the Showtime subscription? You think I can find that?
Wow, wow. I actually no longer subscribe to Showtime. So do you subscribe to Showtime?
I do, as
Man,
a matter of fact.
I would love, you have to tweet, when this episode comes out, you have to tweet out if you found it on the Showtime deep subscription. I would love to know.
It's, you know, not I'm on looking the right now. It is not on there.
Oh, it's hard to find on the internet. So this was also sort of like battle-ish centric. Obviously, Eminem, 8 Mile, Battler, et cetera, et cetera. But it does speak to that era being challenging to break narrative out of hip hop.
And if it was on Showtime, then that means they could cuss, right? Which is like one of the great things about rhythm and flow.
Absolutely. Totally agree. Just feels like a normal cursing, bunch of cursing rappers. What a gift. So you mentioned a few others. We're going to skip over 106 and Park, which I think is like, it's like kind of like fake. It's like fake under the thing.
I had a whole riff about Gin. I wanted to.
Okay, go. Then you can do your Gin riff.
Gin right now seems to be like what he's doing with his life is he's a sort of like supporting role actor in Chinese blockbusters.
Oh, wow.
Which, like, I watch a lot of, you know, kung fu movies, and he'll be in there in, like, the sort of, like, half comedy movies that don't really get released over here.
Interesting.
And Jin was in Too Fast, Too Furious, which kind of coincided with his, like, moment of 106 and Park glory. And he was just a minor comic relief, like, side character. He did not get brought back for the sequels the way Ludacris and Tyrese did.
Right.
What Jin seems to be doing with his life now is just his role in Too Fast, Too Furious, but in China.
Interesting.
I want to know more. I want to know more about Jin. Somebody put down the money for that long-form Jin profile.
Our friend Hua recently curated a museum exhibition here in New York about Chinese-American music over the years. And there's like a little Jin, you know, display in there.
Great.
And Jin showed up.
What?
Yeah.
Really?
If you look on Hua's Instagram, there's like, I don't know if the photo is just of Jin or of Hua and Jin together, but like Jin showed up to check it out. So, you know, Jin just out here downtown Manhattan, just absorbing the full shine of his influence, of his long tail influence. We should probably wrap up with what obviously you describe as probably the best rap reality show and probably is the best rap reality show, which is the Ego Trips, the White Rapper Show, which is from VH1. This is what was like 07 maybe or 06?
07 sounds right.
Yeah. So this is a show only for white rappers. So it's like it's a lightly comic, highly sardonic rap reality competition show. When one of the contestants uses the N-word, she is forced to wear a big chain around her neck. That is it just an N chain? I don't remember.
I believe so. I think it was like a license plate with the N-word across it or something like that.
Oh.
It was brutal.
Yeah, this show is playing at a high level, right? This show is playing at an extremely high level.
Absolutely. I mean, the whole show, it was constructed as a competition reality show. But it was the whole thing, what was an investigation and a critique into the idea of the way, you know, race and rap music interact with each other. And the idea that these white rappers are guests in a house and should behave accordingly. It was like very clear about all that. And it was like, it was great. There's a part where they all go to Detroit to like try battling Detroit battle rappers. And MC Search, who was hosting the show, called Detroit the Mecca of white rap, which is just amazing. Like, that's a hilarious, that's a good phrase on strong, every level.
Strong.
Just, that's good writing.
That's good writing. You don't think he freestyled that one? You don't think it went
on
the
dome? I don't know.
Some real characters on that show. The winner was a kid named Shamrock, who I think was from Atlanta, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, I believe so. I think he put out like a mixtape with Jackie Chan later.
I think that's right. He never like totally blew, but like he, you know, he was like moving in those circles for a minute.
Obviously, yeah, he was around.
Obviously, like the iconic character is John Brown.
Ghetto Revival.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
You know, hallelujah, holla back all day long.
His catchphrases are still just rattling around in my head for no reason. They mean nothing, and they're still in there.
And I can never tell if John Brown was engaged in sort of like intense counter performance art or if he just was. That's just the speed he moved at, you know,
it's
like
so unclear. There was an evening when I lived in Park Slope, Brooklyn, shortly after the show aired, mm-hmm. when I went out on a date with my wife. And when we were leaving our building, John Brown was standing on the corner and I said, "Oh, John Brown, hallelujah, holla back." And he was like, yeah, man. We're doing a show at Southpaw. You should come. And I was like,
oh my gosh,
no, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to date with my wife. I'm not going to make her go to a John Brown show. But we were just walking around the neighborhood that evening, like, you know, going to dinner, whatever. And we kept seeing John Brown, and he kept telling us to come to his show at Southpaw. He was hustling, man.
I think maybe we should go out on this episode. I'm looking up Shamrock's oeuvre. Okay.
How's he doing?
Well, he's got some tapes. He's got some tapes as recently as 2012. Yes, Interstate Music with Jackie Chan. That's from 2012. But let's see. In 2009, so not maybe 2 years after that show, he put out a tape with DJ Techniques called The White Trapper Show. Drum. Ba-da-tsh. Well, first of all, Bo Hagen's on five songs on this record. Six songs. Seven. Eight. Bo Hagen's on eight songs on this record. So I feel like I might have to listen to this record in full.
That's a lot of songs.
That's a lot of songs. It is not having a lot of spins on Spotify, but I think we should go out with a Shamrock song just because it feels right. So as we say farewell to Tom, let's go out with a little jam, a little underground hidden gem from Shamrock. Tom, thanks for being here.
Hallelujah, holla back.
Shamrock from the White Trapper Show. I'm a star.
Catch me at the bar, sipping goose with the crunk juice, about to touch Mars. Cause I'm rolling on the stack, feeling like a Mac, about to take over the club. Motherfucker, get back. I'm a bona fide star. Catch me at the bar, sipping goose with the crunk juice, about to touch Mars. Cause I'm rolling on the stack, feeling like a Mac, about to take over the club. Ain't no party like a Shamrock party, cause a Shamrock party don't stop.
That's our show. Thank you to Fraser Tharp. Thank you to Tom Bryan. Listen to every podcast ever at nytimes.com/podcast. Subscribe to the podcast anywhere you get your audio content: Pandora, Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, etc. email me at popcastnytimes.com, because I am, again, I remain a little bit surprised that more people do not seem to be talking about Rhythm and Flow. So I'd be really curious for some additional feedback. So hit me at popcastnytimes.com. Our producer is Pedro Rosado from Head Stepper Media. We will be back next week.
I'ma jump the land and do what I do best. Hit the stage, grab the mic, and beat on my chest because I can. Catch me at the bar, sipping goose with the crunk juice. About to touch my